on the Thursday service here in the Worship Center at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And that will be much in the same way that we began Lent on Ash Wednesday, a very special service, worshiping in the round. And then on Good Friday, we have two worship opportunities for you. The first will be at noon in Trinity Chapel, and that will include meditations on the last seven words of Christ. And then in the Worship Center at 7 p.m., a cantata put on by our fabulous Worship Arts Department, the Weeping Tree. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, the celebratory day it will be, we'll have four worship services beginning at 7 in the Memorial Garden for our sunrise service, 8:15, 9:40, and 11 here in the Worship Center. It's going to be a great week this week, and we hope to see you all here throughout the week. We have a tradition that we use here at Trinity. We'd like to participate in that now. I say to you, welcome home.
Will you please stand and join me in a call to worship? As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The whole crowd of disciples then began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Pray together. Oh God, we gather in this space with Hosanna on our lips and our palms waving in the air. We pray, oh God, that as we gather here to worship you, to bring you all glory, laud, and honor, that you use this time of worship to speak to our hearts, to change our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, as we are standing as an act of worship, let us declare our faith together using these words on the screen. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Joy and privilege to share with you our mission box, not only for this week, but for next week as well. It's Zoe Ministry, and they are an incredible restoration ministry that serves orphans in Africa and throughout the world. This ministry is near and dear to my heart. When Aaron and I were serving at Spring of Life, and I had my dance studio there, every time we had a recital event, a portion of our proceeds went to help this vital organization. They work with the orphans not just to give them a meal, but they teach them how to become food secure, and they give them tools and resources to come together as a community of orphans, learning how to care for their siblings, for themselves, and they become incredible business owners and so influential and a blessing to the communities that they live in. So I invite you to look them up online and learn more about what they're doing. You'll hear more about it next week as well. But pray and consider giving generously for this important and vital ministry in our world. As we turn our attention towards prayer this morning, I wanted to have you see the names of those that we are visiting in the hospital and rehab so that we can keep them in prayer this week. In addition, it came to our attention this morning there were two terrorist attacks on Coptic churches in Egypt. And so far, the reports show, at least the last I heard, that about 36 dead and almost 100 injured. Those who came to worship on Palm Sunday are mourning and grieving. And so we need to keep them in our thoughts and in our prayers as we pray for peace and all those who are inflicted and running for their lives from terror. May peace come, and may we be agents of that peace. Let's begin our prayer time with some silence, so that you can take your joys and concerns to the Lord, and then we'll join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Blessed One, to whom we cry out, Hosanna, save us, who rode into Jerusalem on the anthem of our praise, who healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, and set captives free. Continue your ministry among us. Heal those who are in need. Comfort those who mourn. Provide for those who are in need, and protect those who are in harm's way. Bring us the peace that our world so desperately needs, and may we recognize that peace begins within each of us. This morning, we stand at the gate, hesitant and uncertain, reluctant to answer your invitation. We are slow to embark on the journey toward your reign. Forgive us. Grant us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the help that we need to be your people, the courage to join you in the procession of faithful obedience, the selfless lay down our cloaks before you, the freedom to lift up our palms for your glory, and the knowledge that we are made whole, individually and collectively, only by your grace that knows no end and never fails. May that revelation fill us with both peace and joy as we say together the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Giving back to him out of our financial resources for the ongoing ministries of this church. As I pray, I invite the ushers to come forward now. Lord, as you emptied yourself for others, we offer ourselves and these financial gifts as a sign of our hope in your reign. Where there is death, bring life. Where there is sorrow, joy. Where there is injustice, bring courage for change. Amen. Thank you.
gift of music, bell ringers, we appreciate you sharing your gifts with us in worship. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and just this weekend, somebody was actually asking Catherine, so what is Palm Sunday anyway? You know, it's amazing how we assume that people know things, and that isn't necessarily always the case, so it's good to be reminded. Today is known as Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, because it is the day that traditionally we remember the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Now, often it is the passage from Matthew, which I will read this morning, that is used, and in that passage it references palm branches. So if you're not particularly familiar with the story, I invite you to listen closely and for where that shows up in this passage. If you'd like, you can follow along as I read. The words will be printed on the screens or in your Bibles. Again, this is from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the first verse of chapter 21. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them. Bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Crowds answered, "It is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, "Thanks be to God." Praise you. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this service, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts. Well, in case you missed it, March Madness came to an end this past week. A few of you maybe have been following that time of year when everybody gets excited about college basketball. But it has ended now, and so productivity has returned to the American workplace, as folks are no longer desperately checking their brackets every few minutes. The boss button doesn't need to be used again for another year, and everybody has to wait until next year to attempt to complete the perfect bracket, picking all of the winners of all of the games that are part of the tournament. It is amazing how many people get caught up in the frenzy of March Madness this time of year. I read one estimate that suggested somewhere between 40 million and 60 million Americans filled out a bracket in their attempt to predict the winners of all of the games in the tournament. Now, what's really fascinating is that a large portion of those people have zero interest in college basketball, except for this time of year when it's March Madness, and they're hoping to win something or to at least have bragging rights in their office by picking the most correct game. So many people getting caught up in the frenzy of March Madness, and now it is past. Well, you know, there is an element of what happens during March Madness that can be found time when people from all over the land of Israel come to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the sacred meal of remembrance. That meal that they shared, their ancestors shared, right before they were set free out of the land of Egypt. And so people come to Jerusalem year after year to celebrate the Passover. So here they come. Historians estimate that in Jesus' time, there were probably about 40,000 residents in the city of Jerusalem. And that at the time of Passover, another 200,000 or so people would come to the city to participate in this remembrance. It sounds a little bit like game day in the fall here at Gainesville, doesn't it? The crowds descending. And on this particular Passover, what we also learn from Matthew is that Jesus is coming to town. And in his chronology of things, this is the only time during Jesus' years of ministry that he comes to Jerusalem. All of his time from when he went to the river to be baptized until now has been spent in towns and villages and on the roads all around the country. But it is only now that he comes into the city of Jerusalem. So a buzz begins to develop. People have heard that he is coming. And so a crowd starts to form on the outskirts of town on the road that they have heard he will be entering by. Some have come who Jesus healed at some point along the way in his ministry. There are others who have come there that day who have shared a meal with Jesus. After all, he did a lot of eating with friends and going into even strangers' homes. Some of them are there to greet him. Surely there are many who show up there who have heard him teach, some who have even followed him for part of his travels over the years. And then there are some who have come who have never met Jesus or even seen him, but who are curious. They've heard about this man and the things that he has done, and they want to come and see for themselves. Many of them have come as persons who for a long time have been waiting for Messiah. The king who would come and bring freedom and restore greatness to the nation of Israel among all of the nations. And so with these kinds of expectations and these kinds of past experiences, all of these people begin to gather as a crowd. And then they see Jesus coming. And perhaps it started with just one person who in that moment becomes overwhelmed with emotion. Maybe it was one of those persons who had received healing from Jesus. And he cries out, "Hosanna!" Which means literally, "Save us." Somebody else hears him. And they join in, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" And then more voices join in. And before long, the whole crowd is caught up in shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Passage from their songbook, the book of Psalms, Psalm 118 specifically, where it says those words, that in the context of the announcement of God coming one day to save God's people, the shout goes up of Hosanna, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And here they are, on this day, just before Passover. We can understand how it might have happened, how they begin to think, this must be it. This is the moment we have been waiting for. This is the one who we have been waiting for. Hosanna! Hosanna! And when Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem, verse there was nothing about Jesus' life and ministry that had ever suggested that he would come as a mighty warrior who would strike down all of Israel's enemies and claim victory for himself. They couldn't have seen it coming. In fact, Jesus had even prepared his disciples as they started that journey to Jerusalem. Perhaps you remember that day when Jesus gathers his disciples, his closest companions, and he says to them, "What are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am?" And then he says to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter utters that famous confession, "You are the Christ." And at that moment, Jesus begins to prepare them. In fact, three times, according to Matthew, from that day until the day he entered Jerusalem, he told them, "We are going to Jerusalem. I will suffer. I will die. But on the third day, the Son of Man will be raised up." They could have seen it coming. Over and over again, he had taught his disciples and others about greatness. That true greatness was not to be found in boasting or bragging or in those who elevated themselves, but that greatness would be found in those who humbled themselves. Surely a message that did not sit well with those who were in power. They could have seen it coming. He disturbed the religious elite with his teaching, speaking those beatitudes, talking about where true happiness is found and who it is that is truly blessed, the poor, the brokenhearted, those who mourn, the persecuted. That message didn't sit very well with those who thought they already had the happiness that they wanted for themselves. They could have seen it coming. His willful violation of the Sabbath, telling his disciples, "Go ahead, pluck some grain, you're hungry." And how dare he actually heal somebody on the Sabbath day? They couldn't have seen it coming. The people he chose to mingle with, the ones he touched, the ones he healed, and those warnings that he had issued to the disciples time and again about the risks, the costs. And then there was that entry into Jerusalem on this day. An entry that was not like other kings, other warriors. He did not select the animal of choice for a great hero, the mighty war horse. Instead, Jesus comes in on a donkey and on the young offspring of that humble animal, a small colt. Anyone who says that religion and politics don't mix has not paid close enough attention to this story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, because he speaks to the powers that be in this moment and says that the strength of God will not be according to the ways of humanity. That he comes ushering in a new kingdom, one that will be defined by peace. They could have seen it coming. It should have come as no surprise. And especially after he went straight from that procession to the temple to turn over the tables and disrupt the practices as they were. Today is Palm Sunday. And I wonder, are we sure we realize who it is that we are cheering for? listened and really heard his message clearly? Many people get caught up in the frenzy of Jesus and what they want from Jesus. Being a friend of Jesus sounds nice. Doesn't come to simply grant us our desires, to indulge us in our own interests. He doesn't come to fulfill our wishes for a king who will endorse the lives that we have already chosen for ourselves. He doesn't even come to grant us immunity from hardship or from sufferings or from struggle. He doesn't promise us a life of bliss and happily ever after, at least not the fairy tale version. But he is the one who comes to make all things new. This week, we remember that the path to the new life that Jesus offers, must pass through the crucible of death. His death, to be sure, but also the death of all of our misguided ideas about life on our own terms, so that we can receive the best life possible, the one that only
come to this table and we give thanks to God because it's good and right always and everywhere to give thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth. God created all that is and created each one of us out of the dust of the earth. And God created us good. Yet we have fallen. We have fallen to sin and we have been subjected to evil and death. But God's love remain strong and steadfast for us. And God invites us to come to the table to cleanse our hearts so that we can be prepared for the joy of the Easter feast. And so we come and we're the people of God and in company with all the saints in heaven, we say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Save us. And in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to save us and redeem us. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he offered himself, obedient to God, even to the point of death on the cross for our sake. We remember that through his baptism, his death, his suffering, his resurrection, he gave birth to the church and delivered each of us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke that bread and he gave it to the disciples
take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took a cup and poured it and gave thanks to God. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we come. We come to this table and we offer our lives. We offer all that we are, all that we have. And we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And in his Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim him as faithful. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Will you pray with me? For God, pour out your Holy Spirit and let's gather here on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. By your Spirit, we pray that you would make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. And we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We invite the servers to come and meet us at the healing room. And as the servers come this morning, I invite you all to spend a few moments in silence as you think about the cleansing of your own heart, what it is that God might be calling you to do, how it is that God is calling you to live, and to give yourselves to others. In a few moments, when you come, you'll come forward by the left side of your section of your row. Come forward, beginning at the front and moving toward the back, and remain seated until your row is ready. And you'll come to the section in front of you and receive a piece of bread. You take that and dip it into the cup in the manner of intention. And remember, shifting, dipping into the cup. And then you can return to your seats. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you like at the kneeling benches. And the gluten-free is available on either corner. Let's take just a moment of silence and then I'll invite you to come. Feast has been prepared and the table is ready. So we invite you to come. Thank you. to give you thanks for this meal, this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we might go out into the world to live and to give ourselves to others. Fill us with your courage.
I hope that you will come and join us for worship experiences this week that will help us move through the story of Holy Week, through the Passion, and through the crucible of death, so that then on Sunday we can come and see that indeed new life has happened. And next Sunday, I also want to invite you, to encourage you to invite a friend. There's somebody out there that you know that needs good news and the hope that is available through Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to extend an invitation to someone to come and be here with us for Easter Sunday. Now go, trusting in a God who loves you deeply, in the grace of the Christ who comes to indeed.